Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, yay! Oh, yay! Oh, yay! Here we are on Talk TV. The Cock Inn at Thurlow is the place to be. Should Matt Hancock be in Australia Fair or promoting his constituents' welfare? So let's all hear your claps and cheers to welcome our host, the wonderful Piers. God bless you all. God save the King.
Live from the Cock Inn in Suffolk, this is Piers Morgan Uncensored.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, good evening from glorious Suffolk. Welcome to Piers Morgan Uncensored, a new location for the show tonight. Matt Hancock is, of course, the man who puts the cock into Hancock. So tonight I've come to the Cock Inn, which just happens to be Matt Hancock's local pub. The disgraced MP is, of course, 10,000 miles away in Australia, taking part in a reality television show. So far, he's been filmed eating camel penis, cow's anus and a sheep's vagina. Apparently, this is all in the name of promoting dyslexia awareness. Yeah, right. Actually, it's about promoting himself and transferring a £400,000 fee. That's why he's doing this. And, of course, to, as he put it, get forgiven. Well, here in Little Thurlow, the people he's actually paid to represent in Parliament are facing the same problems as the rest of the country and much of the world. Soaring inflation, sky-high energy bills, stagnating wages, a health service crumbling, much down to what he's been doing at it in the last couple of years. Today, even Prime Minister Rishi Sunak condemned him, saying MPs from all parties should be busy fixing the country. And he's right. And while Hancock squirms in the Australian jungle, humiliating himself yet again, it's worth remembering the record of the Burke behind the smirk, because this is no laughing matter. As health secretary in a pandemic, he sent thousands of elderly patients from hospitals back to their nursing homes without testing them for COVID, a deadly fiasco that led to thousands of unnecessary deaths. He was forced out of his job after an affair which broke not only his marriage vows, but also the lockdown rules that he imposed on the rest of us with the dire warning, don't kill your gran. The former landlord of this very pub, an acquaintance of Hancock with no experience in producing medical equipment, was dragged into the controversy when it was revealed he'd been given a contract worth £40 million for COVID supplies. Hancock had been photographed pulling a pipe behind this very bar. He even had a picture of this pub on his office wall. Truly, as I said at the start, he's a man who puts the cock into the Cock Inn. Well, campaigners today flew a banner across the jungle campsite in Australia that read, COVID bereaved say, get me out of here. And they're right, aren't they? Matt Hancock shouldn't be taking part in I'm a Celebrity. He's not a celebrity. He's a shamed politician who caused thousands of deaths with his decision-making and who had to resign in disgrace just a few months ago. He shouldn't be cashing in on all this with either his jungle appearance or his forthcoming book of diaries. The only thing that you're doing in his diaries is handing them over to any inquiry that goes on into COVID-19 and why the UK had the highest death toll in terms of people who died in the whole of Europe. And above all, you should be listening to the people sitting right here tonight about the very real problems they face. At the heart of an MP's work, far away from the gilded halls of Westminster, is a constituency surgery. It's where MPs meet the people they work for in the place they call home, one-on-one, so they can understand their lives. Well, Hancock can't be bothered with that. He'd rather be eating kangaroo testicles 10,000 miles away. So I've moved in. I'm going to do his surgery for him. I'm going to meet his constituents, hear their anger, hear their problems, and maybe even try and help them. And I'm doing it in the Cock Inn. Could there be a more appropriately titled pub? So let's get started. I'm joined now by the landlord of the Cock Inn, John Byers. John,
yeah, please.
Great to see you. Thank you very much for hosting us this evening.
You.
You're not the infamous landlord.
No.
Who,
no.
I should say, for legal reasons, was not established, had done anything wrong. But obviously, he was an acquaintance of Matt Hancock from this pub and ends up with this contract. What is the mood in this part of West Suffolk about the MP who's paid £84,000 a year to represent the people here, gallivanting in this reality show in Australia, not doing his job?
Yes, there are mixed views, but I think the majority of people that I've spoken to are aggrieved at the fact that he's, well, hasn't been doing what he should be doing, I think.
I would be, if this was my MP, I'd be outraged.
Mm.
So where are you? There's a cost of living crisis. There's a war raging in Europe.
Yeah.
There's really serious stuff happening.
Mm.
And he's just making a fool of himself in a jungle with all these B-list celebrities, not doing what he should be doing for the people of Little Thurlow.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I'm being hit with the energy crisis. I know there is now a business cap on energy, but it's...
What impact has it had on you?
It doesn't even touch the sides, the help I get for the government. So, to be honest, it could be a factor of whether this pub continues come the end of the year.
It couldn't survive the year.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a power-hungry business running a pub.
And if Matt Hancock was here, would you be able to see him and express your concern about that?
I would like to speak to him about it.
But you can't, right?
No, I can't.
You see, that, to me, cuts to the very heart of this. You should be able to have that conversation with your MP. That's what he's paid to do. That's what he was elected to do.
Yeah.
And yet there's you facing potentially going under.
Yeah.
Losing a pub that I imagine you love.
Yes, I do.
In an area that it's a beautiful country pub. I grew up in a pub, so I have a great affinity with pubs. It's a lovely little country pub. I had a lovely meal that you cooked for me earlier. And the idea that you may lose all this and that the person who should be able to help you, who's the Member of Parliament for West Suffolk, is doing what he's doing, that sticks in my gullet, and I'm not you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I am. Yeah, I am fairly aggrieved at it. I must admit, there's... Not necessarily just him. I think a lot of MPs haven't been doing what they should have been doing for quite a long time now. So, I think there are still quite a few problems with the UK at the moment.
Well, John, I appreciate you having us tonight. We're going to meet a few more people now. So if the cameras follow me, and thank you to all my guests who join me. Some of them will have very serious stories we want to talk about a bit later in the programme. But joining me now, two of Hancock's constituents, Gary Butcher and Anne Patience. So, Gary, let me start with you. That story just immediately has annoyed me.
Yes.
But the fact that this pub, that landlord may go under as his MP is eating kangaroo testicles, that angers me. Does it anger you?
It does, yes.
What do you make of all this?
I think it's disgusting. Mm. Completely disgusting. I think the bloke should be deselected. The money he's getting from appearing in the jungle should be donated to charity. We should have proof it's donated to charity. And his salary that he's still commanding through being an MP, that should be stopped.
I mean, imagine...
Completely stopped.
Imagine,
I couldn't get away with it.
What do you do for a living?
Train driver.
You're a train driver. Mm. If you just didn't turn up for 6 weeks...
I'd get paid.
You wouldn't get paid, right?
No.
Why should a Member of Parliament be able to do this?
Exactly.
It's outrageous, isn't it?
What is the difference?
You have a particular complaint at the moment about an inability to see a dentist. They're all private around
here. Yes.
What are you doing about that?
I'm going back to Bishop Stall. No, sorry, Saffron Walden. My original dentist that I'm registered with. I can't get a dentist in the...
Anywhere near you?
No.
Saffron Walden's how far away?
Probably 20 miles.
20 miles to go and see a dentist.
Yeah.
Now, if your MP was here and having surgeries with the constituents, you could raise that with him.
I've already raised it with him, but he won't answer the emails.
He wouldn't answer your emails? Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
So even when he's here, he's useless?
Yeah, completely.
Do you think he should have gone after... The pandemic, the way he handled it, and then particularly the way he had to leave government for breaking his own rules?
The pandemic is very difficult. It's something no one's experienced before.
So yes, you give him a bit of a pass
A slight pass.
But what about breaking his own
rules? Breaking his own rules is disgusting.
The right to go, but should he be allowed now to do a book and profit from it?
Why
go into a TV show and profit from it?
No. Why?
Anne, you voted Conservative for 50 years.
Yes.
But now you're not going to again.
The last two times I haven't, no. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. You've got Rees-Mogg at the back of the Conservatives. Mm. You've got Corbyn types at the back of the Labour.
When did you last vote Conservative then?
Oh, 8 years ago.
Oh, right, so you've been turned off by them for a while.
Yeah.
Why?
The MPs of today just don't come up to what they used to be. Mm. The state of the country today is unbelievable. I was a war baby and lived through 10 years of rationing and saw the country come up and up and up. And now we're just going down and down and down.
You're the treasurer of the village hall, I think, aren't
That's
you?
That's correct.
So you have
yes.
a good community role here and you take care of people in the community. What do you feel about your MP just doing what he's doing and not actually doing his job?
I can't believe him. He's needed here. Charity begins in his constituency.
Yeah, I mean, the only charity he's really serving is himself.
That's
I've
right.
not heard him mention dyslexia. It's not been heard on air much at all. That's not why he's there. We all know that.
Yeah.
He's there because he wants forgiveness. And he wants us to all say, none of this matters, and here's a load of money.
Yes. Tell that to people who are trying to heat their houses neat.
How tough is it at the moment for people, do you think?
Well, around here at the moment, it's not showing. But there's lots of places in the area that are probably suffering.
I mean, are there people who are literally making a choice between eating and heating? I've read about this, but is that happening?
I don't know at the moment. At the moment, we are trying to get warmth and heat to people in the village hall. The WI are going to put events on and have warm food and...
Because at the moment, I have to say, it's not too cold yet. You know,
no.
it's not. It really isn't.
No.
But it could turn quite quickly. We're heading towards December, then January, February.
Mm.
What's going to happen here to people who don't have much money and can't afford the heating bills?
Well, they were, as I say, the WI are going to put various vents on, and the village hall is very warm, and hopefully. There will be somewhere for them to go.
I mean, it's incredible that has to happen. What's your message to Matt Hancock? If he was watching this, he's not, because he's got no access to television, but if he did, what would you say to him?
I wouldn't vote for him again.
What would you say to him about what he's done, his dereliction of duty?
It's just disgusting. He's not paid to go out to the jungle. He's paid to be here. The amount of holidays that MPs have...
Mm.
Boris Johnson was away when he should have been in Parliament.
His dad's over there. You can take it out on him. He's used to it.
Yes.
His dad breaks the rules as well.
Yeah.
And then Matt Hancock's, he's supposed to be here.
Well, he is. And Gary, what would your message to him be if you were able to talk to him?
Don't show your face. We don't want you.
Stay in Australia.
Yeah.
You think you should be deselected as an MP?
I certainly do.
You
yes.
do?
Yeah.
Because that can happen.
Yeah, I think it should.
And do you think that's the mood of most people?
Most people I speak to, yes.
Most friends of yours feel the same?
Yeah. If it wasn't for people like Annie and the WI heating the village hall, there are going to be people who are going to decide
there are. I think it's going to get very serious for them.
I do.
Thank you both very much indeed for joining me. Well, let's go now to another part of the pub. You'll be unsurprised to hear my next three guests are already drinking. They are, of course, the former I'm a Celebrity contestant Stanley Johnson, former Conservative Minister Anne Widdecombe, another former I'm a Celebrity contestant Christine Hamilton. Well, welcome. What a starry pack we have in the Cock Inn tonight. Anne.
Yes.
You've just heard those two, just local constituents. Yeah. They're regular people. They're not celebrities. They're not being paid vast sums of money to go to a jungle because they don't qualify to be able to do that. But their anger is palpable and their concern about what may happen to people here is palpable.
Well, I've said throughout that he should not be in the jungle and that no MP... should take that sort of extensive time off just for a reality show. I mean, it's not even recess, it's session. Quite apart from the constituents, which you've highlighted, he's not voting, he's not, passing law. So I've always said that he should not be there, and I've used the phrase that you used, dereliction of duty.
Mm.
Having said that, I've been rather surprised at the way he's performed in the jungle and the way that the campmates are now starting to thaw. And that does surprise me.
Well, to me, it's making me vomit. Because they're all, like, warming to him. To this con act, right? There's this guy, doing all the challenges eating all the bugs.
You don't. Ugh.
All this kind of thing. Whoopee-doo. And they're all, like, high-fiving him. And they're all, you know, cheering
but
him.
That's
and all
not
this kind of thing.
That's not how they started off. And that is why I'm actually quite intrigued by what is going on in that jungle, because they started off very, very...
Well, it's human nature, because they're all... Look, Christy, they're all hungry. Yeah. They're all a team. You have to work together. They're probably quite pleased he's not doing so badly in the challenges. He brings back food for them.
Well, they're delighted, but, because, as you say, they're getting... Without him doing well in the challenges...
No, they wouldn't get the food.
And let's be fair to Matt Hancock for just a moment, if you can just bear with me. He has done brilliantly on those challenges. He has done every single one, whether it's eating or...
Here's the thing, Christy.
He has, no, but he has done well.
I can't watch it. I've stopped watching, because I actually feel so incensed. I think back to friends of mine who had to say goodbye to their mothers...
I completely
agree. ..on FaceTime
agree.
In care homes, because the COVID virus had ripped through a care home because nobody had been tested when they got sent back from hospitals. I think of Matt Hancock in that jungle, and it makes me so angry.
So do I. All I was just trying to say that he has done those trials well, which is one reason why his campmates are feeling good towards him, because he's putting food in their stomachs.
But you've had politics in your veins since you were younger.
Far too long.
Right, so what do you make of the principle?
I think
of
it's
this
appalling.
Member of Parliament doing this.
He absolutely, he should not be there. And the people who he is insulting most of all are the people sitting in this pub, his constituents. Secondly, he is insulting the taxpayer who is paying him very... Most people think that, what is it, £85,000 a year is a pretty good salary. He's taking all that while he's there. And the other people that he is insulting are the people who really suffered during COVID. He simply should not be there.
Stanley,
it's disgraceful.
You're a world expert in defending the indefensible, so off you go.
Yeah, I am getting the impression tonight that, you know, there's a certain feeling that they're not very keen on Matt Hancock.
Yes.
And I noticed that you've taken that view rather strongly.
Yes.
I'm going to take a slightly different view. I must confess I've actually known Matt Hancock for a while. We were at the same college, at the same university, though not actually at the same time. I was at Exeter College, he was there too, Oxford. But he was there about, you know, 50 years after me. Mm. That said, I have known him, and I've always been extremely impressed by him as a chap. I first met him, by the way, when he was just in the business of losing 14 kilos. Why was he losing 14 kilos? So he could ride a horse in a Newmarket race and give the winnings to the Disabled Jockeys Fund,
right. Which
he jolly well did. Now, that, to me, exemplifies the man. Now, all this idea...
But you see, it doesn't
hold on, Piers, I want to go on. I want to go on. The idea that you can only serve your constituents by being present in your constituency.
Yes.
That is garbage. It is total garbage. He, to my mind...
He can't do it from the jungle.
Yes, he can.
Other side of the world.
Let me explain.
There's a man there who can't see a dentist within 20 miles.
Well, let me try.
There's a woman treasurer from the local...
Piers, do you want me to say something
or not? Stanley, this is a reality check.
Let me answer. The way he is helping his constituents... I know there's a highly literate constituency, but there will nonetheless be some constituency here who are maybe dyslexic, and by the way, that's a very prevalent disease, if it is a disease. There are certainly people here who would like to get their children into the Cambridge hospital, and he has been working hard as health minister.
Yeah, but he's not in there to raise awareness.
Sorry. He is there.
He's not.
Because he is using this opportunity, and I know it because when I went in, I said, I'm going to talk about diversity, biodiversity, climate change, and so on.
We haven't heard anything about dyslexia. It's got nothing to do with dyslexia.
We're talking about dyslexia all the time. This is all about rehabilitation.
I have a son who's dyslexic, so I would care if he had. It's got nothing to do with dyslexia.
He's brought this issue to the very top. It's all about him
wanting forgiveness from the public. Anyway, look. I've got to leave it there. We're going to come back to the pack a little later when we'll hear more stories. And I want to see, Stanley, if any part of this changes your mind. We'll be back from the Cock Inn after the break. Everyone's had their say about the world's most famous footballer. Now it's his turn. Let me start by asking you, why are you doing this interview?
I think it's the time to say something.
90 minutes for Cristiano Ronaldo.
Cristiano!
An exclusive that's rocked the sports world. Wednesday and Thursday nights at 8 p.m. only on Piers Morgan Uncensored. What welcome back to Matt Hancock's local pub, appropriately named the Cock Inn. I'm here with some of his constituents, and we're pondering what he's doing in Australia rather than doing his job here. Let's remind ourselves of his performance as our health secretary in the pandemic. I'm really struck by the fact that you feel incensed that we're not thanking you enough for your handling of this pandemic.
It's my
you
team,
and your
actually,
team.
I was asking to thank.
You right. didn't save yeah. lives, did yes. you? We've got 130,000 deaths, the worst death toll in Europe. We have one of the worst death rates in the world. So I just don't know why I should be thanking you.
I committed to delivering that testing for people going from hospital into care homes when we could do it. I then went away and built the testing capacity for all sorts of reasons and all sorts of uses, including this one, and then delivered on the commitment that I made.
Do you know what it is, actually? What I'm really looking for is a bit of forgiveness.
Well, joining me now is Julie Goodwin, whose husband sadly died from COVID, local resident and Reform candidate Edmund Fordham, whose family had to visit his mother-in-law in a care home through a window during the pandemic, and local resident Jiminy Jackson, whose grandfather died from COVID. So three people who've all had first-hand experience of this awful virus and this terrible pandemic. Let me start with you, Julie. You don't actually come from around here. When you heard about this, you contacted us and you wanted to come all the way down from Nottingham, where you live, to have your say about Matt Hancock. Why did you feel so determined to do that?
Well, I just can't believe that he's in there, you know, when there's a cost of living crisis going on. He should be here for his constituents.
Your husband, Charlie, he was a paramedic.
Yeah.
And he was just 61. When he got COVID and he died. And I, in fact, read out his name on Good Morning Britain.
Yeah,
and that's
you
when
did.
You heard about what we were doing here. That was the connection that we had. And I remember doing that as part of a number of care and health workers who died. I presume that, like most people whose loved ones died in the pandemic, very few people could be at the funeral?
No, we could only have 15 and we were one of the lucky ones. To
and
be
you were obeying
15.
The lockdown rules to do that, of course.
Well, we was locked in. He left a special needs daughter and a son, and I couldn't come out the house. And when I could come out, we had to organise all his funeral on the front garden.
But you obeyed all the rules.
I did. I was too scared to do anything else.
So when you heard that Matt Hancock, who'd told you, you know, your grandmother can die with all the adverts if you don't take this seriously and do the rules, when you heard he'd broken the rules himself with his affair, how did that make you feel?
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
One rule for him, one rule
exactly,
for everybody else.
Exactly, yeah, one rule for him and one for everybody else. Such as us, what had suffered bereavement, we didn't matter to him.
It's all, I mean, Jiminy Jackson, you had a similar thing with your grandfather. Tell me about that. He was 101 when he got COVID and you weren't able to be where you wanted to be.
No, we weren't. My granddad was in a care home. And we obviously, we all had to stay away and we weren't able to visit. We were one of the lucky ones, really, because he had a downstairs room, so we were able to see him, through the glass window. So you could just see him just every day, just giving up during the lockdown. Yeah, Granddad sadly passed away.
And you feel as a family that because you weren't able to see him in the last period of his life, that actually loneliness was a contributing factor?
I believe, yeah. Granddad, we believe that as a family, loneliness killed Granddad because his family were everything to him and we were his life. And without us, he couldn't understand. He didn't have, you know, he was able to walk. He fully understood what was happening, but he didn't understand the pandemic.
So what do you feel about Matt Hancock? I think you've got a slightly less hostile view of it. Why?
Because I believe in second chances. Because I believe that people can make huge, huge mistakes. But I also believe in forgiving. I think my granddad always taught us not to hold a grudge, Piers, and that if I'm going to hold that hatred and that anger to him, I'm going to be bitter and I'm going to be angry, and that's a waste of energy. So
I mean, my anger at him is more, not that I don't think he deserves to have a life after all this, but he's not been held accountable by any public inquiry.
It wasn't
into what happened
just
yet.
Matt Hancock.
No, no, but
was
he was the health secretary.
Yep.
He did end up being fired for breaking his own rules and all these things. When you add up the charge sheet, it's pretty bad. And we've not had an inquiry yet into this. So him profiting so greatly from what's gone down, I find distasteful. That's my argument with it. It's more the timing and what he's doing. Let me bring in Dr. Edmund Fordham. You're the Reform UK candidate for West Suffolk. What do you think about the MP doing what he's doing?
Well, I think, you know, you've said it, other people have said it already. It goes to the heart of our system of government that every one of us gets to elect a member of parliament to go and represent us in the Palace of Westminster. And I do actually think it's rather important that they're around to do their job. I mean, I agree with you on this. And that's the fundamental thing.
What are the big issues?
It doesn't matter what your politics are.
Right, what are the big issues around here which he should be really dealing with
on
a daily basis?
OK, so I'll give you an example, because the thing I have got my teeth stuck into is the issue of this humongous solar farm complex that's straddling West Suffolk and southeast Cambridgeshire, just north of Newmarket. And it's going to be the size of Newmarket and Exton put together. And it produces what, in my opinion, as a physicist and engineer, is a completely piffling amount of solar energy.
So you're trying to stop it?
I'm trying to stop it. And Matt has said he's against it. Both of the MPs involved in both constituencies have said they're against it. He's headed up a protest march against this solar farm.
And what's your fear now?
So what? But well, let me tell you this, Piers. Because when this story broke, I was actually engaged in the opening session of the public examination into this this solar farm proposal. I was, you know, bending my brains out, going all over over these legal documents and listening carefully to the arguments and putting in my own opinions. And where's Matt Hancock?
Right.
I get my phone going when I'm trying to concentrate on this stuff, and the story's broken that he's in Australia.
I mean,
couldn't believe what I was saying.
It's insane. I mean, Julie Gilwin, the more stories I hear like this down here, we've heard a lot before we even selected who we talked to, many, many more. But all these stories really, I think, are illustrative of how bad this is. And it's not because I totally get where you come from about second chances. I believe in that. Everyone's entitled to redemption. But to be paid hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds to go and humiliate himself on television across in Australia when things are so bad for so many people in so many parts of the country, I just find it disgraceful.
It is disgraceful because there's people having to choose between eating and putting the eating on.
Right.
And that's how bad it
is. And do you know people who are in that position?
I do, yeah, up at my end, yeah.
I'm hearing it down here as well. It's the same thing.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Would you ever vote for someone like Matt Hancock?
No, because my husband
would. You?
Piers, this is happening throughout the country, though. This is not just here. The people are struggling.
But he's the only MP who's doing this.
OK, I get that. But what are the MPs doing that are actually in their areas? What are they doing?
Well, at least they're
because
in their constituents.
There's people starving. There's people not having their heating on and not eating.
They're meeting their constituents,
wherever.
Right? I mean,
but what are they doing?
Well, to me, meeting
your
constituents
them,
is the most important thing
doing?
A politician does. It is, actually. And they should be voting. Meeting your constituents, hearing their concerns, acting on it, and voting in Parliament. He's not doing any of these things.
But what are they doing? The MPs that are doing it?
I admire your forgiving nature. I'd be less forgiving in your position with what happened with you and your grandfather. Final question quickly, Dr. Fordham. Are you going to try and stop Matt Hancock, get him deselected? Are you going to push for that?
Well, whether he's deselected or not is actually up to his party. What I've done this afternoon is launched on change.org a petition saying, recall Matt Hancock, which, you know, any constituent in West Suffolk is more than welcome to sign. And really what ought to be happening is, you know, deselection, that's up to his own party.
Yeah.
But what ought to be happening is that we ought to have a resignation and a by-election, and then the voters of West Suffolk can choose whomsoever they please to represent them in
Parliament. I've got to leave you there. Gemini, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Julie, thank you very much indeed for coming all the way from Nottingham. And Edmund, thank you very much indeed. Well, lots more from the increasingly annoyed Cock Inn after the break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Oh yay! Oh yay! Oh yay! We shall discuss a former minister. Is he a celeb? Or someone sinister? Could Matt become king of the jungle? Or will it be another bungle? God save the king!
Well, welcome back to the Cock Inn, Matt Hancock's regular pub, when he's not eating kangaroo testicles 10,000 miles away, of course. I'm with Matt Hancock's constituents, the ones he's not seeing at the moment because he's trousering hundreds of thousands of pounds to do what he's doing in that jungle. But there is a cost of living crisis, NHS on its knees. And where's their MP? He's doing this.
The person they want to see face tentacles of terror is... Matt. Matt. Matt.
They are.
Can't tell me.
That was a load of slurry. Just pulled on my head.
Come on, slippery little suckers.
Horrible.
I've changed at this moment.
How is
this friends with the stink room.
Oh, no. That is disgusting. Oh, that's not nice.
I mean, it's become part of my morning routine. You know, you get up, you brush your teeth, have a shave, do a trial, go back for lunch.
Well, joining me now are Conservative councillor for West Suffolk, Ian Holder, local residents Sarah Diath and Martin Williams. Thank you all for joining me. I can't even watch it anymore because, to me, it just sticks in my gullet too much. And let me say to you, Councillor Holder, I don't care that he's Conservative. I wouldn't care what his party is. To me, it's not about party. They happen to be the party of government when the pandemic hit. Matt Hancock happened to be the health secretary. I judge him on his actions in a pandemic. I don't care that he's a Conservative. Oh, yeah, against him for being a Conservative. You are a Conservative. What is your view of it?
Well, as you say, I'm a Conservative. My view, when it all came out on the television, I was horrified that our health minister could deceive the country for so long, wagging his finger, as you said, don't kill my granny, do all these restrictions, you'll be fined. You know, it was daily for months. And then suddenly we find that doesn't mean anything to him. He can do what he likes. I think that's...
So it's the hypocrisy of what he did,
absolutely.
Really.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I wrote immediately to him on email his parliamentary address, but more importantly, to the West Suffolk Conservative Association.
And what were you saying?
I was saying this is appalling and we should start the process to get him deselected.
Right, so he went as a government cabinet minister, but you want him deselected as an MP, gone.
Gone.
Because you think he's and now he's deserting his constituents to do what he's doing, even more so, I imagine.
Well, yeah, and the same association that circled the wagons round him wrote back to me and said, you know, we've forgiven him, you know, we've accepted his heartfelt apology, for God's sake. And he's back in the fold. Did we, the members of that association, get a vote?
No, of course not.
My email was full of ire from members of that.
And more so since he's gone into Australia, in the jungle?
I haven't... No, actually not. I think everybody has thrown their hands up in horror. And the Conservative Association issued a letter saying how disappointed
they were. But that's not enough, is it, to get him disloaded? Sarah Diaz, you have a 10-year-old boy. He's special educational needs. And there's an issue in this area, which means at the moment he's not getting what he should be getting.
Nice.
And your MP that you could be taking it up with is in Australia. What do you feel?
Disappointed. It's shameful. He wants forgiveness and he thought he'd go on TV to try and get it.
I mean, I don't care that he gets forgiven. I want him to do his job. You know, you get forgiveness, actually, by doing your job properly. Then people may look more fondly on it.
Absolutely.
Doing what he's doing in this jungle for massive amounts of money in a cost-of-living crisis, when it's your disgusting. Boy isn't getting the help he needs...
Because West Suffolk Council haven't got the funding they need
to
move this process ahead. My boy is waiting for an EHCP. He's waiting for a diagnosis. But there's families out there that are suffering, that have been waiting years.
Have you written to Hancock?
I haven't, no.
Would you be potentially going to see him if he was here?
If he was here, of course I would, absolutely. Yeah, but what I want to try and get across is that there's families out there that children haven't got places in schools or they're being given EHCPs, educational healthcare plans, and they're not being stuck to. It's not even worth the paper it's written on.
So what would your message be to him if you could see it?
Donate the money that you earned from what you're doing and help kids in the flipping vicinity that need it.
Like your boy?
Like my boy. Yeah, like my boy.
We'll try and get some help for you, OK? We'll try and do the job he should do.
Absolutely.
So that's why I wanted to meet people like you, to say, look, if he won't do it, we'll try and do it. OK, we'll take it up.
All right.
Martin, you're a local resident. What do you make of all this?
Well, I've actually been a very vocal supporter of Matt over the last 2 or 3 years, through the pandemic. I even bumped into him once and thanked him for his efforts, not performance, his efforts, throughout that time. This whole jungle thing I completely disagree with. He should be locally, staying where he should be, to meet constituents. We've got a local issue in Newmarket at the moment where buses have been cancelled. The local stagecoach company have cut all the routes to Cambridge and Bury St Edmunds, and it's causing real hardship for people who want to get the hospital appointments.
And he should be dealing with it.
Yes, he did, to be fair to him, he did mention it and come out against the fact that they're being cut. But, of course, all that's fallen by the wayside since he's been...
I mean, I get the people who say, you know, we've got to move on from the pandemic, and I don't actually believe that Matt Hancock deliberately tried to kill people.
Yeah.
I think he made catastrophically bad errors of judgment. I don't think he did it deliberately, knowing what would happen. But he did make terrible decisions in the first phase of that pandemic, which cost a lot of lives. And it's incredibly serious when that happens. Then he has to lose his job for breaking his own rules, which I think most people found disgusting. And now he's profiting from all this by deserting his constituents. And that's my real problem, is that he's deserting the constituents when they most need him. Constituents like DF here.
Well, it's, as I say, with the buses is the local issue, but with the broader cost of living.
Sarah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sarah, dear. My apologies. I thought you had this very exotic name suddenly.
The broader cost of living crisis, I mean, I'm on a relatively low income. I'm working 6 days a week at the moment to make ends meet. You know, and a lot of people in that situation, as it goes on with mortgage rates going up, it's going to cripple a lot of people. This is what matters to us at the moment.
Have you run out of tolerance for Matt Hancock? Run out of forgiveness?
I wouldn't say that, but I judge the situation as it happens. So I'm judging this jungle thing in isolation from...
And what's your immediate verdict on him?
Well, he shouldn't be there. He should
it's embarrassing, be there. Isn't it? You have your MP doing this?
Yeah.
Eating kangaroo testicles?
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen the programme. I haven't been watching it since he's been in, but, you know, it's not particularly edifying, is it, really?
Thank you to all of you. I hope we get you some action. Maybe you could help with that, actually, now I think about it. OK?
get him to do a bit more of a shift. Thank you all very much indeed. We appreciate it. Lots more from the Cock-In after the break. Cleaning reaction from my pack again. See if Stanley Johnson has changed his mind when he's been hearing some of these stories. The tough nut to crack. We'll find out if he's cracked after the break. Piers Morgan Uncensored, live from the Cock Inn in Little Thurlow, which is the constituency of Matt Hancock, who's in Australia, deserting his duty as a member of Parliament, of course, to take part in despicable, embarrassing, humiliating trials. I want to come back to my pack here. So, let me ask you, Stanley, have we got another VT, have we? What is it? Let's play it.
Well, hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello, mate.
Oh,
my God.
I can imagine that this hasn't gone down well.
Sticks out like a sore thumb.
All I heard is bull.
There's so few ways in which politicians can show that we're human beings.
I can't help but think he should be at work.
What I'm really looking for is a bit of forgiveness. That's what I'm really looking for.
Hey. Well, oh my God, I nearly cried then.
That took to say that.
Oh, go be brilliant.
Matt Hancock is our leader. Words that nobody in Britain ever thought that they would hear.
Oh, that is comfortable.
No. Oh, it doesn't look good.
Sweet Caroline, bum, bum, bum. Good times never seem so good. So good, so good, so good.
I mean, I'm sorry, it just makes me vomit listening to him do that, celebrating. Being treated like some sort of hero. Christine, this to me, great. And I've seen a lot of people on Twitter, by the way, and other social media platforms getting increasingly angry. There are others that are warming to him, falling for this act, but there are many, many people where they're really saying, what is he doing in there?
Well, he just said it on that clip. That this is a good way to show people that politicians are normal people. There are a million and one ways to show that politicians are normal people, and you do that in your constituency, you do that here, you do it in all sorts of ways in Westminster. You do not have to go to the other side of the world and be paid... allegedly £400,000. There are
I know for a fact. And how often do politicians, if they're in the constituency, have a surgery with their...
Most will do it weekly. In some very big rural constituencies, they'll do it fortnightly because you don't quite get the pressure that you get.
But you would hear this kind of stories I've been hearing tonight.
Yeah. But can I just say one thing? Probably, and Christine will know this because she worked for Neil Hamilton, about 9 out of every 10 cases are actually handled by the staff because they know what to do. And the MP comes in when the clout is needed.
Right, so that doesn't change
not
anything.
The point. I understand.
I haven't said that that makes it right. I haven't said that, and I don't want to be portrayed as having said that. But I'm saying that when you're portraying this picture of great neglect and that the constituents can't get anything done, they can in most cases.
All right, Stanley.
Because members of staff can use the name of the MP. You're quite right.
To which my answer would be, we don't need an MP then. So, following Stanley, have you changed your mind about anything?
No, I've certainly not changed my mind. I think Anne's just made a good point. A MP does not have to be in his constituency to do his job all the time.
They should be, Stanley.
No, let me finish on this one. There are big jobs and there are important jobs which don't necessarily have to be done in the constituency. There are big issues...
He's not doing any jobs.
Oh, he is.
What's he doing?
I can tell you what he's doing. I'm going to repeat what I said. I'm not going to talk about
testing. He's eating camel peanuts. That's what he's doing.
He's out of contact with
his constituents.
Look, the constituents, as you just said, Anne, will survive very well without Matt Hancock being there. What is important...
Actually, some of them may not survive.
Let me tell you something. On December the
2nd...
No. Listen to something factual. On December the 2nd, Parliament is taking the second reading of the Dyslexia and Special Teacher Training Bill. Now, Matt Hancock has managed to bring that to Parliament's table on December the 2nd for the second reading. It's brilliant.
Right.
It's a private member's bill.
Stanley,
hold on.
Here's my point. If he's that capable, what the hell is he doing then, not doing his job?
Well, what he is doing and what he has done, what will be immensely beneficial to him on December the 2nd is that everybody will realise this is an absolutely vital bill, as you have pointed out. One out of four young children suffer from dyslexia. There's a clear link.
Stanley, he may not even be here
jungle?
For that.
Yes, quite. What if he's still
there? It's got nothing to do with him being in the jungle.
All right, let me hear from you, Christine.
Everything to do with it.
Well, it hasn't. I mean, he says he's going in there to raise awareness
of
dyslexia.
And he
has. All right, we are talking about it now, and we probably wouldn't be, but that is not why he's doing that.
It's huge.
So disingenuous. He's doing it for the money, and he wants to try and rehabilitate himself. And it is absolutely disgraceful that he is not here in his constituency or in Westminster. No.
That's not true.
And what happens if on December the 2nd he's not here?
I have followed Matt Hancock's career as a charity worker for the last 20 years, and I can tell you it is an excellent, excellent...
Please answer that very basic question, Stanley. On December the 2nd, if he's still in the jungle, how is he going to promote that bill?
He's not going to be in the jungle on December
the 2nd.
He'll be out.
And
he will be back in Parliament wearing the laurel crown of the winner.
Rubbish. Rubbish.
Hank, I'm going to leave it there. Stanley, as ever, you managed to almost try and defend the indefensible.
Faith in human nature.
But luckily, you were held to account by these two very admirably. Let's go back and talk to the more constituents. Okay, so I've brought the wrong card. So that's I knew at some stage I'd drop a clanger, and there it is. So there we are. So I'm joined by two more constituents. Welcome to you. Welcome to you. So Sean O'Connell and Michael Pitcher. Sean, let me start with you. You work in, I think, waste management, is that right?
Yes.
You've heard this defence from Stanley Johnson, that actually he does some good things, doesn't need to be here for most of it. What do you think?
I think as a constituency MP, he's been decidedly anonymous for the whole of his tenure. I do appreciate he had a ministerial position. What qualifications he had to be a minister for that position is debatable, PPE.
Do you forgive him? He wants forgiveness.
You're not going to get it by going on a television programme and trousering 400k, really.
I don't think so, but my amazement, some people are beginning to, quote, warm to him.
No, not really. It's not the format for that. He should be in his constituents.
And you've got a particular thing about local buses, I think.
Yeah, the buses are a bit of an issue in Newmarket, but there are particularly challenging areas in his constituency that could do with his
attention. He should be getting on with sorting. Michael. You are high risk. You had to shield for 3 months, no outdoor space, horrendous experience for you. When you saw not just Matt Hancock, but Dominic Cummings breaking the rules, Boris Johnson and all his number 10 staff getting fined by the police and so on, what did that make you feel, given what you had to go through?
My house backed onto an old people's home, and I've witnessed body bags being brought out, surrounded by people in hazmat suits. That really brings the situation home. And what they did was despicable, breaking their own rules for their own gratitude. I think they are answerable, and going into the jungle is not the right way.
He's Do you think it's a smack in the teeth?
Completely. He's asking for forgiveness, which implies that he knows he's done something wrong.
Right.
But I know that when the inquiry comes, he will dig his heels in and he will defend his
But he
know,
will
his
have
time
already
in office.
Profited massively
Completely.
From the infamy of being, in my opinion, a terrible health secretary and then an absolutely shameful cabinet minister caught breaking his own rules. He shouldn't be allowed to profit from it.
He's moving into a celebrity status on the back of being one of the worst health secretaries.
The back of people literally dying.
Correct, correct.
I mean, to me, it's absolutely shameful.
Yes.
Thank you, both of you. I appreciate it. I want to come back to my extremely, I've got to say, animated and engaged audience tonight, all local constituents here. What do you make of this? Let me just show of hands. Anybody here feel that Matt Hancock's done a good job and should keep his job as an MP? I mean, literally, three hands. If you had a chance to vote on I'm a Celebrity for him to be King of the Jungle, who would vote for him to be King of the Jungle?
I haven't watched it.
One hand. You haven't watched it. OK, but everybody, one hand would vote for him to be King of the Jungle. And I guess the most crucial question then is, given there's clearly most people here are against Matt Hancock and probably share a lot of my views about this. If that is the case, then you don't have to wait till there's another election. You can deselect him. It has to be driven by his own party, but he could be deselected. Show me your hands here who would like to see him removed as an MP through deselection.
Yeah.
I mean, most hands here, I'd say at least two-thirds, maybe three-quarters.
There is a mechanism, but it's not.
Right, and that's entirely true. Thank you very much for joining me. So there, the people have spoken.
from this part of West Suffolk, which is Matt Hancock's constituency, and they've spoken with their hands. Hancock, come back and face the judgment. Whatever you're up to tonight, keep it uncensored. I'm going to get a pint of Cock and the Cock Inn. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.